what you believe and not what you see. We may be only human, there's another way to be. Don't need God to explain my morality. You can tell what's good and bad without it. It's all to a deity. Made up stories to explain it.
Hello, welcome to the Agnostic Brothers Podcast, the only podcast where two barely educated guys from Central Illinois get together and talk about religion. This is Jake.
This is Nick.
And welcome to episode...
25.
25.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. It only took us how long to get 25?
Almost a year and a half.
Oh, boy.
A year and 4 months, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. Wow.
And here we are. Like 25 is some crazy milestone, but oh well, we're here.
Well, it's not as good as 26, but it's better than 24.
There you go. So, well, I guess we can just go ahead and get started right into it. I just want to talk about, we have a new, recently Illinois enacted civil unions, right?
Yes.
I think it was, it was June as of June 1st this year, they enacted civil unions. You know, either homosexual or heterosexual couples could enter in a civil union, granting them the same rights or some of the same rights. You know, that married couples get. Pretty sure it's pretty much everything. Still not recognized federally, but
yeah, it's one of those things. I think it's a step in the right direction, but it's not. It's not this. It's not marriage, and I think
they should have just not. Just let them get married if they want to. I mean,
but the marriage thing wouldn't have passed right now. I don't think the civil union did, so it helps. But it's
right.
It's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, and it's progress. So,
yeah,
even if it's slowly. Well, anyway, Catholic Charities in the state, they provide adoption service to people here in the state, and I think they account for about 20% of the foster care system, the kids that are in the foster care or adoption system in the state. Well, the state pretty much said, you know, here's the deal. You know, ever since we got the civil union stuff, you can no longer deny civil union members services because that would be against the law and you accept state funding, so you need to follow the law. So what some of the dioceses did, or diocese? What's the plural of diocese? Dioceses?
I have no idea.
Well, anyway.
I'm not Catholic.
Yeah. One of them basically said, well, fine, we quit. You know, we're you know, disbanding or whatever. We're terminating our contracts. And a couple more filed suit saying, hey, we should get to do it anyway. Well, recently, a judge in Sangamon County, which you told me is Springfield.
Yeah.
The state capital said, that no, you guys can't break the law and, you can't break the law and continue to accept state funding. Right now, this is the, you know, Catholic Charities' big argument was, you know, they said they just don't adopt to non-married couples, right? They said they don't have a problem with gay people as long as a gay person, like, you know, they'll let a single gay person adopt just as long as they're not with anybody. You see what I mean? And even they, you know, according to their press release and everything, they don't let cohabitating single or straight adults adopt either, right? It's all about marriage, right? Because that's
so you have to either be single or married
to a member of the opposite sex.
But you can't be.
You can't be gay, or you can't be.
No, no, you can't. You can't be living with somebody you're not married to, whether it's heterosexual or homosexual in nature.
Right. That's their deal. So what they're saying is, you know, it's not civil union isn't married. So we're not breaking the law, you know, and basically the judge, as far as I understand it, the judge says that's bull. The law that clearly states, you know, from my understanding, the law states civil union members get the same rights as married folks.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, and I'm all for the Catholic Charities, the Catholic Church, to do whatever they want. They should not be forced to do anything they don't want to do. Right? But the problem is they're accepting state funding. You know, that's all that they're saying. You know, the state's saying is we can't give you state funding if you're going to continue to discriminate against same-sex couples or non-married couples or however the hell they want to put it.
Yeah.
And I fully accept their right to, you know, do whatever they want, you know, without government intrusion. Right? Then that's what all I believe in religious freedom, and they definitely should be able to do that. But when you accept state funds, you invite government intrusion. You're accepting the money. You're letting them in your organization, you know, as a funder.
Yeah.
So, but it's been ruled. I don't know if it'll be appealed. It might. I don't know where it'll go from here. But it's basically, here's the status now, at least in the state of Illinois. Civil unions are out there. The Catholic Church cannot continue to accept state funding while discriminating against civil union members. So here we are. I kind of have mixed feelings about this, personally. But this is just my personal opinion. Like I said, Catholic Charities accounts for about 20% of the kids in the foster care or adoption system here in the state.
Yeah.
Right? So that's 20% of the kids that are pretty much having their services terminated, right?
Yeah.
You know, both sides, you know, are claiming, or I don't know if both sides are claiming, but pretty much both sides agree, everyone agrees that we should put the kids first here, you know what I mean? But the problem is I don't think that they're, you know, because you put the kids first.
Putting the kids first would mean letting go of this restriction completely.
Exactly. I mean, that's what I was thinking. You're talking about putting the kids first. Well, who's the one that was turning away?
You're going to turn away a perfectly good couple, heterosexual or not, because they're not married?
Yeah, and then you're going to give us the shit about putting the kids first, about trying to keep them... Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're imposing your values on the kids, which I'm sure most Catholics would think is putting the kids first.
And if parents are going to adopt a kid, wouldn't it then be that parent's choice to, you know, instill whatever values they choose on the kid?
Yeah, and they, you know? But they want parents who they feel will instill the values that they want.
Well, yeah, obviously.
And I gotta wonder, you know, they may officially say, well, we will adopt to, you know, gay people, provided they're not in a relationship. But, mm-hmm. you know, I gotta wonder, and this is speculation, that how often that really happens.
Right.
Like, how many openly gay couples or gay people actually are allowed to adopt from Catholic charities? Or how often they find other reasons to not adopt or not let them adopt?
People in, you know, these religious, you know, organizations have a special, I guess, view of what, you know, being homosexual is, right? It's not – you're not gay unless you have sex with members of the same sex. You could be attracted to them. Right, but you're not really gay until you officially step in there and actually do it. You see what I mean?
Okay.
Like they're saying, because it's the same kind of language they use when they're claiming that, you know, everyone already has equal rights. Everyone has the exact same right to marry a member of the opposite sex. You see what
oh
I mean?
Yeah.
You know, just because you're not attracted to them, that's not our fault. You know, you can marry the same kind of people I can marry.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just an excuse to deny them the right to marry who they want. But it's that same kind of attitude, the same viewpoint. It's where, they determine being gay as not actually just being attracted to them. Like they call it being gay a choice. It's not in that.
Because yeah, you can't necessarily. Maybe you can't choose who you're attracted to, but you can choose
to not
through
the homosexual
those.
Behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah, because everyone
like,
who says
I can't choose. To not be attracted to women, but I can choose not to have sex with women.
Yeah. What I usually do when I'm confronting people who say, you know, homosexuality is a choice. And I say, well, basically, if you're saying homosexuality is a choice, then you're saying you have the capability to choose to be homosexual if you want to. Right? I say, you have that in your psyche or whatever. And it's good for you, but I don't think I have it in me to choose to be gay.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. It's like I look at someone who is gay, and I cannot believe that their brain is wired the same way as mine. What I mean by that is I couldn't possibly just choose to be attracted to men, and I could imagine that if they couldn't possibly choose to be attracted to women the way I am. I mean, I honestly believe that they are born differently, and there's nothing wrong. Absolutely nothing wrong with it. I think that's how people are born, and there's nothing wrong at all with it. And it's kind of funny because a lot of these religious, especially the pray the gay away type groups are always talking about how, well, the devil's doing this to you. The devil's tempting you with homosexual urges, but, you know, they're classifying it with, like, say, a temptation to steal something or a temptation to lie or a temptation to do some other transgression. And I'm thinking, you know what? Why? The devil's very specific about who he tempts with this, too. I mean, it seems like
most of us... think everybody would feel the same temptation.
Exactly,
Pretty much everybody's tempted to steal or, you know, or overindulge in drink or food.
Yeah, or lie. There's certain little things. We're all tempted to, you know, drive above the speed limit. And
how come only a handful are tempted to be gay? Right.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, isn't Michelle Bachmann's husband one of those reformed gays?
I think he's involved with one of those programs.
Right. If he's not, I mean, he's totally in the closet.
Or no, he does a counseling, or he's involved or runs a counseling service for homosexuals who want to be straight. And I think it's like he doesn't have a license, or he's not actually have credentials to be a counselor, if I remember correctly.
Well, it's only a matter of time before he gets caught with a man with, you know, some 18-year-old male prostitute.
Yes.
All those adamantly anti-gay politicians usually, of course, he's not a politician. He's married to a politician, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's only a matter of time. You know how the
Republicans happen.
It's just a matter of time anymore. You know, like I was listening to a podcast. I think it might have been the Geologic podcast.
Yeah.
He suggested, oh, God, I hope it was him. If it's not, I apologize for getting this wrong. But he basically, you know, started calling, he figured, or he was talking about it, and he said we should call it the Haggard syndrome or the Haggard process.
Hmm.
You know who Ted Haggard is?
Not off the top of my head.
He's one of those fundamentalist preachers at a megachurch.
Yeah.
And basically, you know, anti-gay, and, you know, he got caught. I think he got caught with a meth dealer. He got caught with meth with, like, a gay prostitute.
Nice. So he's a real winner.
Yeah, but he's cured now. You know, he's not gay anymore.
Well, good for him. I'm sure his life's much better now.
Anyway, I sincerely doubt that. But anyway, back on track. I just wanted to bring up the way it sits right now here in the state of Illinois. We have civil unions, and that's the problem. Because I should have looked into this. This has to have happened in other states already, right? You know, because this other states enact civil unions or even gay marriage.
You know,
there's religious charities who don't want to adopt to gay people, especially Catholics. You know, because Catholics, you know, the Catholic Church is one of the ones where pretty much any Catholic church in the country is going to have, you know, pretty similar stance on things. You know,
cause the Pope. Because their doctrine is set.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I should have looked into this.
Their doctrine is set by a guy that likes to protect child molesters.
Exactly. Yeah, so I should have looked into that before, and it didn't occur to me.
Yeah, I guess my viewpoint is that they're talking about, oh, well, you're taking this money away from us, and we can, you know, if you take away this funding, we're responsible for 20% of, or the care of 20% of children without parents, so you're taking this away from them. But you know what? The government can give that money to other organizations that are not religious in nature, or that are religious in nature, that aren't willing, that are willing to follow the law and not
discriminate. Yeah, I mean,
and then these other organizations can pick up the slack.
That actually occurred to me, because I mean, there's a lot of other organizations. You know, obviously 80% of the rest of it is being covered by other people and other groups who are, you know, perfectly willing to, you know, obey the law when they accept state money.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm hopeful because, like you said, there's that much of the funding that's going to go to groups who, well, honestly, in my opinion, deserve it because they, you know, don't discriminate against gay people. But
and that's making an assumption that the extra funding would go to other organizations that do the same thing, and I hope that would be the case.
Yeah, I hope so too. Of course, this is Illinois.
Yeah, no kidding.
Keep that in mind.
They may spend the money on rebuilding the cross, the bald knob cross that we talked about a year or so ago, where in southern Illinois, but.
Right. So, yeah, I'm hopeful. I think, like I said, I think this money will just go to other groups. And, you know, because frankly, when I look at this, when the Catholic Charities basically said we're going to cancel services until we get, you know, until you allow us to, you know, take the funding and do what we want. I mean, to me, that is just in the sense of taking the kids hostage, you know, holding the kids' well-being hostage.
Yeah.
Which I understand. The Catholic Church isn't going to change their view on homosexuality anytime soon. And local Catholic churches, you know, it's not up to them. You know, they take their marching orders from the Vatican. So,
yeah.
I mean, so you got to, I guess, look at both sides here. But I don't know. I just don't feel any sympathy for them if they discriminate.
Yeah. And
for reasons that I don't think are good reasons.
And they're going to use the argument, well, you need to put the children first, when clearly that's not what they're doing.
Yeah, if they were really worried about putting the children first, they wouldn't turn any parents away just because of their orientation. Because they're not married. Bunch of bullshit.
Yeah. Of course, which was pretty much just a restriction that was invented to keep gay couples from adopting children.
Which begs the question, what's going to happen in a couple years? Or hopefully in a couple of years, or
yeah.
So when they allow gay marriage, yeah. What's the Catholic Church going to say then?
Because really, how often does an unmarried heterosexual couple want to adopt a child? Usually, if a heterosexual couple is at the point where they're going to try to adopt a kid, they're already married.
Right.
I mean, it's absurd.
The only ones who would really make that much of an issue with, you know, getting married, or people who have something against marriage as a rule. Like, you know, most of the people, if they want to adopt a kid, they usually want to adopt a kid more than they care, you know, how their relationship is labeled.
Yeah.
You see? So the people who want to adopt who aren't married are people who have a serious issue with the label of marriage.
Yeah.
And then, my opinion anyway, and the civil union that we have, I think, takes care of that pretty well. Honestly, the best way to go is just get rid of marriage altogether in the state's eye. Let everyone have a civil union and let, you know, label a marriage according to whatever they want to label it.
Well, heterosexual couples can get civil unions.
Right. Yeah, but the way I see it is the government should get out of marriage completely, instead issue a civil union license, and just basically make that the new marriage and let, you know, any two people engage in a civil union, which pretty basically gives them all the rights of being married. And then if they want to get married, then go to the church.
Let that be a religious thing. That way, yeah.
Let that be their deal. Or they can just say that they're married according to them. I mean, they can still call it marriage, even if it's just a civil union in the eyes of the state.
I see what you're saying.
See what I mean? That's the best way to make it equal for everybody.
So get the government out of the marriage business altogether.
Right.
Make it not anything to do with the government. Just make them all civil unions and
give them the exact same relationship, the exact same rights, the exact same, you know, file jointly in your taxes, all that good stuff.
Your civil union would be recognized in every state.
Yeah,
it'd have to be.
Just let them be civil unionized, whatever.
Yeah.
And if they want to call it marriage, they can. If they don't, they don't have to. And if they want to go to a church and have a special priest, you know, wave a magic wand at them and say that they're married now, then by all means, but.
But it has to be the priest from Futurama that has, like, every single religious symbol on his outfit.
Yeah. Or the Space Pope.
Space Pope.
Is the Space Pope reptilian? So, that about sums it up.
That's interesting.
So we're making progress here in Illinois, slowly.
We're getting there.
Baby steps. You know, I hear they're looking, or that they were, looking into legalizing concealed carry here in Illinois, too, because I think we're the last state that doesn't have some sort of concealed carry law.
There was talk a while ago about allowing concealed carry in the city of Peoria. And
right.
It was going to be like a test case, and they were going to do it and see what happened, and if Peorians could, you know, go without killing each other, then they would, you know, if the crime rates didn't change or whatever, or got better, like a lot of gun enthusiasts think that the crime rates will improve, decrease. There'd be less crime if people can conceal weapons. Anyway, they were going to use the outcome to determine whether or not it would be a good idea to have it happen for the state of Illinois.
Yeah, I thought it went farther than that. I thought Governor Quinn was going to go for it, but he basically got turned down by the legislature.
I don't remember. I know that it was a serious thing, but then it wound up not happening.
Right.
So, yeah, that's a...
Got a constitutional rights episode.
Yes.
Of the podcast this time.
Yeah, Karen, so weapons has nothing to do with religion. But well, that's why we're two barely educated guys talking about religion.
Well, you know what? You go to some churches out there, and I think they'd say they're pretty damn close.
Yeah?
Well, yeah, I mean, especially down in the South. They love their God and their guns.
Yep.
So, okay.
God, guns, and gold is Glenn Beck says.
Oh, yeah, Glenn Beck. Love Glenn Beck.
I hate that guy. Okay. So, I think, is that it for...
Yep, that does it for what for I had.
The news segment.
Our news segment. Old news, but news nonetheless.
Yeah, egg news stick. Wasn't,
egg
that,
news.
Wasn't that originally a...
Yeah.
Okay. Still decided not to go with that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have been recently watching this show called American Greed. It's a documentary-type program that talks about different kind of cons and scams that have been, you know, done throughout America. Occasionally, they'll have an episode portraying religious-type scams or where religious leaders scammed their followers out of money.
Right.
I was kind of thinking about putting an episode together where we talk about different church scams, but I kind of got stuck on one of them. It was kind of bizarre, and this is actually probably the biggest church scam in the history of the United States. So maybe in the future I'll talk about a few more church scams, but today I'm going to what I was thinking was it'd be interesting to talk about religious type scams and compare and contrast them from each other and from secular type scams.
I doubt they're much different, really.
They're probably not, but I think that maybe people are a little bit more open to being scammed when it's coming from a trusted church leader,
right?
And because when people honestly believe that God's got their back,
yep, put God behind a con man, yeah.
Yeah, but then that's something maybe we can delve into in another
episode. Hey, we can make that a segment.
Yeah.
You know, this week's church scam.
Yeah.
Or church scam of the week.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And it's actually kind of funny because I was doing research and I didn't find too many of them. One of the guys on this documentary said something like, I have seen more money being scammed out of people in the name of God than any other reason. And he was like an IRS investigator. And looking into it, I couldn't find that many church-type scams. I think what happened is this guy, I got the feeling that he was religious, and he was like, well, I hope there's a special place in hell for these guys. And
right.
One of these guys that really pissed him off that people scammed in the name of their religion because his religion was important to him. And I think it's one of those confirmation bias-type things to where he pays more attention to church-type scams than others. But I could be wrong, and again, that would be something to look into in another episode. And it might be interesting, but for now, we will talk about Greater Ministries International. They were founded in Florida by an ex-con who had found God, Gerald Payne.
Don't they all?
Yeah, I think he spent some time in prison for perjury. anyway, Payne claimed he was awoken in the middle of the night by a revelation from God. God's kind of an asshole like that sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, why can't he knows when you're going to be up.
Send an email? Jesus.
Yeah, why can't he wait till you wake? Why does he got to wake you up for this shit?
It's more dramatic that way.
Yeah. Anyway, he cited a portion of a Bible verse, Luke 6:38, that said, "Give and it shall be given to you." He claimed this verse was speaking about money. So Payne, along with the leaders of his church, traveled the country visiting churches and encouraging people to enroll in Greater Ministries' Faith Promises Plan. He claimed that if you put money into God's hands, then he would put it back into your hands double in 17 months. Now, American Greed actually showed video clips of this guy talking in front of a church, and he said, God never intended for his church to be poor. He said poor in heart, not in pocketbook.
Oh, that's bullshit.
Yeah. Well, it was taken from the Sermon of the Mount, he does say that blessed are the poor in heart. But of course,
what about that, all that spiel about the rich man, you know, it's easier for a cast a camel through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven.
Oh, well, he meant like really rich people.
Cherry pick.
Yeah. He meant like billionaires.
Right.
Talking about guys like Donald Trump. But if you're just a middle-class member of the city of the church, doubling your money won't make you so rich you can't get into heaven. God wants you to have more money.
Yeah.
And then he would ask, everyone who's already enrolled in the Faith Promises Plan, raise your hands. And people would raise their hands, and they would attest that they're getting money.
Of course.
He claimed that they were making money from international trades and investing diamond mines. And it's kind of funny because international trades is such a vague term. He's saying, here's what we do. We go out and we do these international trades. And every time we make an international trade, we always come out ahead. We always almost double our money.
International trade?
Yeah.
What are they trading? Bullshit?
Pretty much. They're basically encouraging people to get mortgages, to cash in life savings, do whatever they can to get as much cash as possible to invest.
That way, you get double back.
Yeah, and even worse, investors were told that apart from using profits to pay back investors double their investment, profits were also being used to feed the hungry and help needy people.
Aww.
So, in other words, Greater Ministries is so good with money, they're more than doubling it in 17 months. They're doubling it with enough extra to
feed the hungry people.
Charity work. So these people are not only getting double their money back, but they're also helping to help other people. It's a win-win.
Yep. Almost sounds too good to be true.
Yeah, almost. And at this point, it's easy for us to listen to this and say, come on. Really? How can you be?
From the outside.
Yeah, and you gotta, you're like, how could people fall for this? I mean, investment guaranteed to double in 17 months? I mean, anyone who's taken a high school level econ class would know that's complete bullshit. Not only is it too fast to work, but short-term work growth can't be predicted that easily. 17 months, we don't know what the market's going to be like then. But Michael Fletcher, a reporter who covered the scam, was sympathetic towards the victims, and he said, you know, you drop your defenses when your friends and family members show you envelopes of cash.
Mm-hmm.
And I can imagine that, too. We've talked about being in church. You got that feeling of community with friends. It helps.
Your guard's down. You're open to more suggestion.
Yeah. And it's got to get exciting when you're being told about this wonderful opportunity, and you're looking over and seeing friends of yours, family members, people you trust saying, yeah, I put, you know, $500 in a few months ago, and I'm getting cash every week. And the cash would, when people invested, they would start getting cash payments once a week. It's got to be easy to get caught up in the moment of that in that environment. But then I'm also thinking, hey, look, you don't just up and cash in your life savings or get a mortgage in the heat of the moment like that. You got to take some time. It takes time to go pull out, you know, $20,000 of cash, which is what people were doing, or to go get a mortgage. And you'd think that during that time you'd have a little bit, you know, of a cooler head and think, wait a second, maybe I should look into this a little more.
Well, yeah, once you calm down, like, okay, you know what, maybe that wasn't quite as good as it
sounded. But maybe not. Maybe if they just knew that this is what God was doing for them, they would go for it. So, and again, it was claimed that this plan had biblical merit. But again, only if you read that one verse, that one part of a verse. You know, how much does the Bible really say about getting rich quickly? You know, you read that one quote, you quote mine it, and it's easy to quote mine the book that's, you know, broken down by verse and chapter. But so many Christians, they're so quick to buy into something because the Bible said something about it, or at least they think it does. Oh, well, and it's like the biggest appeal to authority. Oh, well, the Bible says it. But, you know, the Bible says a lot of things. And again, you can look at all these quotes about Jesus saying to sell all your possessions and follow him, the rich man passing through the needle, or a camel passing through a needle of a pin is easier than a rich man getting into heaven. And then this one, this is Luke 6, 34 and 35. Note, this is four verses in front of the ones they were using. Luke, they used Luke 6:38. This is Luke 6:34. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and your children will be the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. So, this is right before the verse they were saying. It's saying, if you lend money, do it without expecting to get paid back. And these people were doing it expecting to get paid back in double in 17 months.
Right.
Again,
Yeah.
If you want to appeal to the authority of the Bible, for God's sakes, at least read the book, not just the one verse that someone points out to you. If they just read that chapter, they would have said, well, wait a second, now this says something else. So what was going on? It was essentially a Ponzi scheme. The only form of income that Greater Ministries had was investments from investors. Early investors received dividends that came from the hands of later investors. Greater Ministries actually bought an old bank as their headquarters, and they used the vaults there to store the cash that people were
nice.
throwing in there. And eventually, these guys attracted the attention of the IRS, who became suspicious of a church making such large cash transactions. Also attracting attention was the 1998 shutdown of Best Bank in Boulder, Colorado. Greater Ministries lost $20 million of unsecured deposits when this happened. Like, Jesus Christ, they had $20 million at that point? Wow. Now, up until this point, investors had been receiving monthly cash payments. After this, they started receiving promissory notes, which were told they could be traded in for gold at a later date. Greater Ministries told the investors they'd lost money in the bank collapse, but to have faith because the Lord would deliver. Of course.
Yeah.
Now, this is interesting. One of the investors, Nancy Ross, stated, I was hanging on by my fingernails, trusting in the Lord, but the money wasn't coming. And this was a retired lady who had cashed in her entire life savings, had no money, and these monthly payouts or weekly payouts was or no monthly payouts was like her, like what she needed to get by on. But she was trusting in the Lord that the money would come, and it didn't come. But of course, did she blame the Lord? No, of course not. She blamed Greater Ministries International. And again, you know, God gets the credit for the good. If she had gotten all of her money back, or if anyone ever gets her money back to her, well, God did that. But, you know, her money doesn't come back to her. Well, that was these other people.
Yep.
So, and by this time, GMI was already being investigated by not only the IRS, but multiple law enforcement agencies in several states, because these guys were going around the country. They were selling investments without a license, which is illegal. When questioned by law enforcement agencies, their response was they were soliciting donations, not investments, that there was no promise of any return, which the videotapes just flat out show that's a lie.
Right.
I think there was maybe some fine print on one of them, or actually some of the earlier certificates they used stating that this is officially a donation or something like that. But there was also laid out payment plans for when people could expect to get money back. In March of 1999, the IRS had Payne and the other church officials arrested. They were bailed out by their lawyer and immediately went back to selling bogus investments. Authorities were concerned about how many people would be swindled out of their money before the trial because they went right back to doing it. So they got warrants to take over the headquarters in Florida and seize all the records. It's kind of funny because this happened shortly after the Waco, Texas incident.
Right.
Maybe not shortly after, but afterwards. So religious cults were a concern. Plus, this was a secure bank building, and a lot of the church members or church leaders were believed, or I guess rumors were, they carried guns around with them a lot. So and there was also rumors that there was a stockpile of weapons in the building, and those turned out to be true. They had several automatic weapons in their religious headquarters. American Greed kind of glossed over this part that they had all these weapons, which I thought was kind of weird and kind of interesting, and they were focused more on the money portion. So I'll get back, because I found out a little bit more about these guys afterwards. They found that Greater Ministries International had taken an estimated $500 million from people over the years. And they lost most of it, ironically enough, in scams. one of the investigators said con men are not exempt from getting conned. They did try to invest some of it in African diamond mining, like they said they were doing, but they never actually made any money off of it. They put their money into several different schemes. But it almost sounds like they were just trying to get more money for themselves. They had no intention on actually paying the church members back. They also found plans to buy an island off the coast of Honduras. They wanted to become their own sovereign nation, like the Vatican. They had these checklists of all these items they would need to start their own society, including a large amount of weapons for their security detail. They also planned on importing Filipinos for cheap labor.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's odd.
Yeah. And after they were shut down, people were protesting, saying that the government's interfering with the religious organization. And these GMI guys, yeah, they played their part. Like, oh, well, these people are trying to shut us down. The government hates the fact that we can make these money for good Christians. The government hates Christians. And these people believed it, even though there was mountains of evidence that they were getting scammed. So eventually all the church elders or church leaders received jail sentences ranging from 11 to 20 years. Payne received 17 years. Their biggest legal defense was that the First Amendment stated that it was unconstitutional for the government to interfere with their religious organization.
Yeah.
Now, we spoke about this earlier. A few episodes ago, we talked about the episode with the Muslim guy who believed that the First Amendment should allow him to abuse his wife because the religion said he could punish her. The judge on the case, and actually it wasn't a criminal case, it was civil for a restraining order. The judge said, well, since he was abusing her and he thought his religion said it was okay, then we're not going to do a restraining order. And then the appellate court said, no way. And they cited several Supreme Court rulings stating that if your religion says it's okay to commit what we consider a crime, it's not okay to do that. The First Amendment does not give you the right to commit a crime in the name of your religion. And they brought up decisions where Mormons were not allowed to practice polygamy, and
right,
certain Native American religions weren't allowed to use peyote or hallucinogenic drugs that were part of their religious ceremonies. So the precedent has been set a long time ago that you cannot break the law in the name of your religion and get away with it. So my plan was to try to get a little bit more info on these people because they seem kind of odd, and then the island thing, and what I found out is these guys weren't just con artists, they were nut jobs. Some of them were extremists. So we got Gerald Payne. He was the leader of the group. He received this message from God to found Greater Ministries International. Payne spent time in prison in 1979 for lying to a grand jury. Now, in 1997, at this point, he was already had making quite a bit of money with his scam. He was coming back from a trip abroad when customs agents in Atlanta found 27 videotapes depicting bestiality.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe this isn't the best guy to be your church leader, but people are stupid.
What are you talking about? He's an animal lover.
Yes. You know, the Bible says that he should be killed as well as the animals.
Yeah.
He was also known to carry two guns on him at all times.
Well, that's just practical.
Yeah. Although when they arrested him, they didn't find any guns on him, but he was supposed to always have one, like, one on his ankle and one on his hip. They did find a gun in his wife's purse, and his wife is Betty Payne. Now, she actually talked herself into a longer sentence at the trial. The judge gave her 12 years and 7 months. He was going to give her 11 years and 13 months, but she read a defiant statement claiming that the trial was a violation of her constitutional rights and she had broken no laws because her actions were guided by the Holy Spirit. The judge responded that he had boarded his plan for leniency. It wasn't that much leniency. He took like he was going to, you know, he added like a year and a half to her sentence, you know, 11
right.
years, 12 years. Oh, let's see. Another church leader was Patrick Henry Talbert. This guy was charged with multiple counts of racketeering, fraud, and other crimes related to a separate pyramid scheme that he and associate Norman Lauer had established. He taught several church-sponsored anti-government legal seminars and claimed to be a sovereign citizen who is not subject to U.S. laws. And that was his defense at the trial, which didn't work. But this guy was going around, I guess, when they were doing these, trying to get money out of people, he was teaching these anti-government seminars and really, you know, especially when the government started investigating these people and started to say, hey, look, you guys are illegally soliciting money for investments and you guys are scamming people. And the government's warning people, look, these people are con artists. He's given these, well, the government's just trying to take your money. The government doesn't want you to give it to us. They want to tax it. Another leader was Charles Idison. He is the former head of a white supremacist church, the Church of the Inventor, who then had an oil recycling business. He was convicted in 1993 of illegally dumping motor oil into storm sewers that empty in Tampa Bay. In 1995, this guy became Payne's legal advisor. In 1996, he was convicted of practicing law without a license. Another guy, Nico Scheffer, he was Greater Ministry's main overseas operative in its alleged Liberian mining interests. He's a South African who once served 6 years for bank fraud. According to a dissident Liberian group, Greater Ministries obtained tax exemptions in the West African country that was reserved for humanitarian organizations. So they took these like tax credits for humanitarian groups, I guess, because they were calling themselves a church, but really they were just trying to get money. And I guess they had actually invested money in equipment. It's actually kind of funny, the picture they showed on American Greed was a picture of a Caterpillar tractor, which Caterpillar is based here in Peoria. They sell tractors all over the world, and that's the company who – I don't work for them directly. I work through an agency at one of their facilities.
Right.
So I thought that's kind of funny. So these scam artists bought tractors that – well, I guess I can't say I helped make because this was years before I was working there. But but yeah, yeah. They – apparently we're trying to get, you know, get money out of some diamond mining operation, but they never did. And again, I understand how it's easy to get caught up in the moment at church, but it's impossible to get a mortgage this like in the middle of a church ceremony or to withdraw a few a few hundred thousand dollars from your savings account in the middle of a church ceremony. Wouldn't at least driving to the bank give you a little time to cool off? Wouldn't you at least want to maybe look into these people?
Or when you go to the bank and you say, cut me the check, you know, for that much or however, you know, you think.
Yeah.
I mean, or would the person in the bank at least be like, are you kidding me? Are you sure you want to do this?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
It's just, was it that convincing that these people were really divinely influenced?
Man, I don't underestimate the power of, you know, what, of religious beliefs, man. I mean,
yeah, I guess. I mean, wouldn't you think that, oh, well, God's, you know, okay, so I'm going to buy an investment from this guy because I believe that God is guiding him. But last week he got caught with 27 tapes of bestiality porn. I don't know. And, you know, I'm sure this guy did his best to hide it, and most people probably didn't know that that had happened at the time.
Right.
But still.
Well, you know, the convincing salesman's a convincing salesman.
They didn't look into him.
Right. They trusted him because he's a man of God.
Yep.
So.
But that's what happens. It's a shame because they're taking advantage of people's, you know, religious beliefs, but you got to be skeptical of some things.
Yeah, and that's...
If you're going to be skeptical of everything, be skeptical of financial things at least.
When they ask, when they start asking for money, that's a big, big red flag.
Yes.
So, I guess when you're a little, you know, when you're willing to believe stuff like that without any evidence, you know, it'll store for other stuff you're willing to believe without evidence, so...
Yeah, maybe. And it seems like it's not like that a lot of the times. A lot of people are members of a church that are they can be smart with their money at least.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know. I think this would be an interesting topic to research more and maybe discuss, you know, religious scams versus secular scams. And,
sure.
And, but yeah, it's Greater Ministries. It just seems like, especially with that island in Honduras.
And the Filipino workers.
Yeah, Filipino labor.
The bestiality porn.
Which, believe me, I've only been close to one Filipino person, and I didn't get much labor out of her.
Hi-oh.
It's only half Filipino, so maybe that's why. But no, I dated a girl who was half Filipino for quite a while.
Right.
And had a kid with her, but that's neither here nor there.
You have a vested interest. You have a son who's a quarter Filipino.
Yes. You'd never guess it by looking at him, though.
Yeah.
He looks like a little me, which he look is as white as I am.
Right.
But, yeah, so these guys, it sounds like they were just these complete nut jobs. They were looking to get this money so they could form their own little society off the coast of Honduras where they could have all the bestiality they wanted and not have the government telling them what to do. And...
Right.
They were one step away from forming a militia, it sounds like.
Yep.
And they were able to convince a bunch of people to give him money.
Alrighty.
So.
Alright, so, alright, do you want to move on to some church signs?
Let's do some church signs.
Alright, great. Here's one I just found today. I didn't think about it much. It was just too obvious, really. Or not really too obvious, but anyway, I'll just say it. It's really simple. Jesus is the answer.
Hmm.
My first thought was insert Jeopardy joke here. What or who is? I don't know. I couldn't think of anything.
Yeah. Who is the guy that mows your lawn?
That's Jesus.
Oh.
Oh, that's a racist joke.
Kinda.
Yeah, kinda.
Actually, the guy that mows my lawn is not Hispanic.
Yeah, so. The guy that was Mylon is white.
Yes, would that
me?
Be you? Yeah, it's my unemployed roommate who mows the lawn instead of paying rent.
Jesus is the answer. Who is one of the antagonists in The Big Lebowski?
There you go. That's racist too.
I'll take independent film for $400.
Yes,
Jesus.
And what a good movie, too.
Yeah, I love that movie. Oh, speaking of, well, you know what? It's an announcement. I will say it when we're done with church signs. We'll do one more.
Okay.
You just reminded me of it. Okay. What changes must you make to give Jesus top priority?
Well, could make your family not the top priority.
Right.
So the Bible says to do, anyone who does not hate their father and hate their mother and hate their brothers cannot be my follower.
Right.
Or something that's paraphrased.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're close enough. Well, I mean, my values are the way, even when I was a believer, I put my family before Jesus.
Yeah, and even with, you know, a lot of people will say, well, that's not meant to be interpreted as literally hating people. Like you might say you hate somebody, but rather that it meant that you have to put Jesus first. But still.
Yeah, still, I
think that, you know, Jesus would be okay with you. You would think with you know, if any real savior would be okay with you putting your family first. That would be understandable.
Right. I mean, if you're given the choice between, you know, feeding your family or that's a bad example. So given the choice between, you know, going to church or, you know, staying home, you know, and hanging out with your kids.
Yeah.
I don't hang out with my kids personally, but I don't know. I guess it's priorities, you know. Some people put more value on Jesus.
Yep, and usually they're not jobs. Even, you know, even in most churches these days, yeah, people put their family before their religion. And that
well, there's a whole...
Like,
the
people who would actually put their church ahead of, like, their children are considered to be nut jobs. Those
right.
are people who don't take their kid to the doctor because they think they can pray the disease away.
Right. There's the whole... Way the Master, you know, Kirk Cameron and Ray Comfort, you know, the banana guy.
Yeah.
That's their whole spiel, you know. There's no way through the Father but through me, right? That's what Jesus said. So
yeah.
Jesus, if without Jesus, you're going to hell. Unless Jesus is number one in your heart, you're going to hell.
Yeah.
So.
And that's.
Crazy.
You know what? There's stuff in the Bible to back it up, too.
Right.
You know, it's.
You know, that reminds me.
You can quote mine any way you want.
I was talking with Dad about this a while ago.
Yeah.
We might have mentioned this before. We were talking about, he said, he's like, Jesus said, their only way to the Father is through me, right?
Okay.
But that doesn't say the only way to heaven is through me. You see what I mean?
What?
So if, yeah, this is what he was saying. This is how he, you know, and it made a lot of sense to me, because I think it makes more sense than, you know, believe Jesus, you're going to hell.
So you can go to heaven,
so you can go to heaven,
but you just don't get to see God.
You just won't be in God's presence.
Yeah.
Right, which, frankly, makes a lot of sense to me.
That's actually, you know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of our Ghetto of Heaven story.
That's right, yeah, I was thinking of the same thing. Yeah, I mean, because, honestly, it doesn't make sense for God to send people to hell who've never heard of him.
Not as good of a... And that's the thing, you know? I mean, it's a really big problem with making your religion the only way there, because there's so many other religions and there's so many good people that follow other religions, and what is it, the number one predictor of a person's religion is the place where they were born?
Right.
I mean, it's obvious that, you know, the most people follow the religion that they were taught as a child.
I watched a video. I don't remember who it was from. I think a Facebook friend linked it to me. It was basically a guy telling a story about how, you know, a 15-year-old girl, a Jewish girl, you know, she gets kidnapped, raped, and murdered. You know, she never did hurt anyone in her life. She never told a lie. She's a really good kid.
Yeah.
And her rapist got caught and went to jail, found out he, you know, did that to dozens of girls. On his deathbed, you know, accepts Jesus into his heart and honestly, sincerely asks for forgiveness, and Jesus forgives him. And he dies, and he goes to heaven, and he's like, hey, where's that girl that I killed? I want to apologize. And he's like, she's not here. She's in hell. She didn't accept me.
Wow.
She didn't believe in me. I mean, this guy was, you know, this guy wasn't one of the religious. He was pointing out the gigantic flaw in the religion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
But he's got an interesting point. That's...
If there's a perfectly good Jew that Hitler killed, and then Hitler recanted on his deathbed, technically, if you want to, you know, be all lawyer-like about it, he can go to heaven and the Jew can't. That just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Speaking of Hitler, you know Dante's Inferno, right? Obviously.
I know of it. I've never read it.
Well, I was watching, it was on Netflix. It was Dante's Inferno, and it was done with puppets, like little paper puppets.
Yeah.
It was really, really neat. It was really well done. Well, anyway, Dante is going through hell. The whole premise of the story is Dante goes through hell with Virgil, right? The ancient Greek poet, right?
Okay. What a good name.
Right. Anyway, he's going through hell, and it's the Divine Comedy. Dante wrote it, you know, basically so he could put a big part of, you know, the gags in it. He puts people that he knows, you know, people that are in certain, you know, groups that he doesn't like. He puts them in hell for whatever reason, you know.
Yeah.
It would basically like one of us describing a trip through hell and seeing George Bush there, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, he gets down there and Hitler is down there, right? But Hitler is in the section of hell where they punish people who see astrologers. Right? Hitler's down there with, you know, the people who, you know, see psychics.
Yeah.
Because Hitler, you know, checked the psychics, you know, try to see the future. And he's like, what the hell? Hitler's here for that? And Virgil goes, hey, sometimes you guys got to get him on a technicality. So I thought that was fitting.
That's funny.
It's really neat. You should check out if, you know, you're able to catch it. It's Dante's Inferno. It's a puppet show.
I need to, I need to get Netflix again.
So, okay. So that about does it for this episode, I guess.
No, you had a big announcement that you're going to talk to Church Science, and I've got something to plug, too. So.
Okay. Well, I'll make this quick. We have, in the past, plugged the Drunken Zombie Deadly Double feature here in Peoria.
Ooh, we have, yes.
Right. Well, there is one on the 27th, which is this next Saturday, August 27th.
Interesting.
They're playing Pikmin's Muse, which I think is a Lovecraft story. Or if it's not, the other one is the other movie. Oh, I'm sorry. I should look into this. Anyway, you don't go there for the movies. You go there to, you know, heckle the screen and have a good time and drink and everything. But anyway.
Yeah.
Well, we just found out that Landmark Theater, you know, the theater where the Peoria Theater is located.
Yeah.
They're not renewing the lease for the independent Peoria Theater. Or I guess they're raising the rent. And they can't afford to keep it going. So they're closing down the theater. So this is probably going to be the last Drunken Zombie Deadly Double feature, which is awful because they're planning on the Drunken Zombie crew. They do a film festival, a horror film festival here.
Yeah.
In October, I think it is. you know, for a weekend in October. So, you know,
and they do the Big Lebowski night.
Yep, the Big Lebowski night. It's all over too. That's what made me think of it. We talked about the Big Lebowski. So yeah, until we hear otherwise, they're done. Which is awful because those Drunken Zombie double feature, that was awesome. I had so much fun at that.
That's sad. That is
and
too bad.
Even if you're an independent film lover, you know, you don't see stuff like this. The only venue Peoria had for that kind of thing. And
yeah, it's that's a shame.
Which, what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
Hopefully, hopefully the Drunken Zombie crew will be able to figure something else. I know they've used another theater before, and because I went to one of their double features at a different theater once.
Yeah, and I remember the Pure Humanist Society at one of the recent meetings was talking about trying to get the Pure Theater to screen something.
Yeah, was it The Ledge?
I don't remember.
I forget his name, but he's like the great-great-grandson or grandnephew of Charles Darwin.
Hmm.
He made a movie. It's called The Ledge. It's about an atheist who gets in a relationship with a Christian, like a fundamentalist wife, stuff like that. I don't know. I haven't seen it, but it was probably that one because that's big. That's big on, you know, the atheist.
Interesting.
Set right now, but
yeah, and it's I didn't watch.
Right.
Watch it. I don't remember. I remember they mentioned the name of the movie, and I hadn't heard of it before, so I didn't say much. But
so that was my announcement. Some bad news.
That's too bad.
Not really atheist related.
No, but in whatever local listeners we might have, otherwise no one's going to care anyway. So my announcement is I started a new solo podcast called the Bad Advice Podcast. It's a joke. It's me giving bad advice. Normally it's bad relationship advice. It's completely menace humor. I already got an angry email for somebody who kind of thought that I was, and I felt kind of bad because this person thought I was making fun of other people when really I'm making fun of myself. But anyway, if you want to check it out, its website is badadvicepodcast.com.
All right.
It's going to be on iTunes eventually. I submitted the RSS feed and waiting for them to approve it. I don't know, Jake, you are welcome to come and co-host with me anytime you want.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
The thing is, I did it as primarily a solo project just because something for me to do and something I do where I don't have to try to like schedule stuff with Jake, because unfortunately it's
right.
Hard for us to do.
And that's also why we haven't been releasing as often, because I'm incredibly busy.
And I will be too. And the thing is, it's just what I'm doing is I got an email address if people want me to give them bad advice about stuff. But what I'm doing is just looking at like letters to advice columns and coming up with my own answers.
That's awesome. That's great.
And I mean, I recorded one episode. It's like a 15-minute episode, and that's pretty much how they're going to be. It's short, sweet, to the point. So I'm hoping I can do it more often. It's kind of a stress reliever for me and kind of a way for me to kind of look at some of the mistakes I've made over the years and put it into good humor.
No, great. That's awesome. I'm going to check that out right away.
You should. And
downloading it right now.
If you ever want to come on an episode, Jake, you are certainly welcome. Jake's not the best guy for this because his life is just way too put together. to get better.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. I've done some pretty stupid things in my life.
But about that. Yeah. So yeah, if anybody's interested, it's a little comedy thing. So check it out.
Dude, that sounds awesome. I'd love to be involved in.
So yeah,
comedy related like that. So
when I'm recording next, I'll let you know, or I'll just kind of shoot you a text whenever I'm going to record and let you know. And if you want to, I was going to say is we have a good dynamic.
Irony. Maybe I'll just call in. You know, maybe I'll call in and ask your advice.
Yeah. I've got this asshole brother. Okay, does he live in Idaho?
He's always bugging me to record podcasts.
My brother's a real asshole. Well, let me tell you something. Is he in Idaho? No, he's not. Well, then he's right.
That's an idea. That's a good idea.
So, but yeah, otherwise, that's my shameless plug. I'll probably start a Facebook group for it.
What's the website?
BadAdvicePodcast.com.
And your email?
TheBadAdvisor@gmail.com.
Bad Advisor. Okay, cool. Okay, so I guess that about does it for this week's, or this months. No, it's been more than a couple months. This summer's.
We last recorded on the 4th of July, so it's been about a month and a half.
Okay, so. All right, but this is for this episode anyway. The website is agnosticbrotherspodcast.com.
Yeah, you can find us on Facebook.
The email is agnosticbrotherspodcast@gmail.com.
Yep. I guess it's our Facebook group, but I don't know how to change it. But apparently, I thought you could just go and click join and join.
Yeah.
Now I guess you have to actually submit a request.
That's silly.
Which is weird, but you know, I check Facebook on a daily basis almost, and
right.
You know, Jake and I both can add people.
So, no one should be sitting there waiting forever.
Yeah. So if you want to join, go ahead. You know, we had one new, and that's how I know we had a new member join last week. Or maybe it was a couple weeks ago, and I just saw a message that somebody had asked to join, and I'm like, why do people have to ask to join? But, so yeah, I'll try to see if I can change that. If not, it doesn't matter, because your requests will be, answered shortly.
Cool. All right, so does it for this week.
Yep.
For the Agnostic Brothers Podcast. This is Jake.
And this is Nick.
And remember to keep asking questions.
Children into fools!